Shalom and Yeshua, this is Rabbi Deborah Brandt, and we are continuing in the counting of the Omer, 50 days to Shavuot, looking at the name above all names, Yeshua. Omer Day 13, the Great High Priest. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua ben Elohim, let us hold firmly to our confessed allegiance. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all the same ways, yet without sin. Therefore let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. From the Complete Jewish Commentary, New Testament Commentary, in the passage climaxing with verse 12 to 13, the author has left his readers terrified of God's judgment. Now he reassures them that even though Yeshua will one day be our judge, now he is our intercessor and advocate. Therefore, because he is our Kohen Gadol, as well as our future judge, let us approach the throne to find grace in our time of need. The subject of Yeshua as Kohen Gadol was introduced in Hebrews 2:17. Here the author recapitulates what he said in 2:5 to 18, namely that Yeshua had a human nature exactly like ours, enabling him to empathize with our weaknesses, and the only difference between him and the rest of us being that he did not sin. In every respect, he was tempted just as we are. Yochanan calls the basic three kinds of temptation, the desires of the old nature, the desires of the eyes, and the pretensions of life. 1 John 2:15-17. Adam and Hava succumbed to them in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:1-6, whereas Yeshua resisted them when the adversary tempted him, Matthew 4:1-11. Because Yeshua did not sin, he passed through Sheol, Hades, and such other places as house the dead and demonic beings, also referred to as the abyss. He passed through to the highest heaven, God's abode, where he had been before. Because we are his, united with him, we can follow him, and with him we can confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace. There may be an implied contrast with the mercy seat of the tabernacle and temple here on earth, which only the Levitical priest could approach. Many Jewish people feel distant from God and his throne. This is often due to the overemphasis in some forms of Judaism on God's transcendence. New believers are frequently amazed to experience God's warm and loving nearness. They find that they need not merely recite prayers from a prayer book. They find that God's love is not merely an abstract phenomena without relevance to the heart's needs. Like Moses and Abraham, we can experience God's mercy and grace, the Greek charis and elios, which correspond to what the last prayer of the Amidah calls, chen v'chesed v'rachamim, grace, kindness, and mercy. The exhortation to hold firmly to the truth and to our hope, and to approach God's throne boldly, is alluded again in 6:18 and 19, and expanded in Hebrews 10:19-22, after Yeshua's work as Kohen Gadol has been thoroughly explained. The writer of Hebrews mentioned Messiah Yeshua as our high priest before, but he did not attempt to prove it until now, where he does at great length in Hebrews 4:13-10:39. Messiah, the perfect heavenly Kohen. Yeshua HaMashiach was God's only son. He was not descended of earthly Kohen. He passed into heaven to minister to us. Yeshua HaMashiach was sinless. He lives forever to help in the time of need. He was not taken from among men or ordained by them, but sent from heaven and ordained by God. Messiah is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was perfect. Messiah is the author of eternal salvation to all people who obey. He made a way of access to God. Yeshua perfected the meaning of the priesthood. He did not do away with the Torah, God's teaching and instructions, but made a way for us to walk in the blessings that the Torah promised to those who put their faith and trust in the promised Messiah, Yeshua. Hebrews 7:20-28. Moreover, it was not without a sworn oath. Others indeed have become Kohanim without a sworn oath, but he with an oath, sworn by the one who said to him, Adonai has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a Kohen forever. How much more then has Yeshua become the guarantee of a better covenant? Now on the one hand, many have become Kohanim who through death are prevented from continuing in office. But on the other hand, the one who does remain forever has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to God through him always, living to make intercession for them. From such a Kohen Gadol was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need to offer up sacrifices day by day like those other Kohanim Gadolim, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. For when he offered up himself, he did this once for all. For the Torah appoints a Kohen Gadolim men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the Torah appoints a son made perfect forever. Yet another point of Yeshua's superiority to the Levitical Kohanim is that the latter have the daily necessity of offering sacrifices for their own sins, whereas Yeshua offered one sacrifice once and for all by offering up himself on behalf of sinners. Isaiah 53:12. Since he was holy, without evil, without stain, set apart from sinners, Romans 8:3, he did not need to make an offering for himself. The sacrificial process, as described in the Torah, emphasizes the need for both the Kohen and the officer to identify with the sacrifice. But here we see the ultimate identification. It is perfect, hence needs no repetition. Jewish tradition condemns human sacrifice in the strongest language, recoiling in horror at the primitive notion that an innocent person should be put to death for the sake of an intangible supposed benefit to someone else. But the death of Yeshua breaks this rule by transcending its logic, as it's so often the case when the supernatural events of Yeshua evade the natural earth. It is true that the sacrifice of a sinful human being would be ineffective in paying even for himself, let alone for others, the just penalty of death which God demands for sin. Or perhaps one should say that the sinner's own death does pay the just penalty for his own sin, but still fails to restore him to fellowship with God in the Olam Haba. That is, to use the language of Romans 6:9, death has eternal authority over the sinner. God indicates this by specifying that sacrifices must be without blemish. The phrase appears 29 times in Leviticus and Numbers. Because the sacrifice of a sinful human being would not meet the criterion, it would be ineffective, hence pointless and therefore all the more repugnant. But the sacrifice of Yeshua, since he was sinless first, was not needed for himself at all. Death has no authority over him, Romans 6:9. And second, was effective for others since he was a sacrifice without blemish as the Torah requires. The subject returns in chapter 9. Finally, the horror of his human sacrifice was negated, indeed reversed, and transformed into glory by his resurrection. This is what the prophets prophesied and looked forward to. Israel was looking for a Messiah who would take the Roman oppression and all foreign oppression off their back. However, what good would a temporary deliverer be? We first had need of an eternal deliverer who would deliver us from the spiritual oppression that caused the physical oppression. Yeshua will return as Messiah ben David, as the prophets foretold as well. However, we needed to be delivered spiritually before we can be delivered physically. That is why he had to come as Messiah ben Yosef first. He is our eternal Kohen Gadol, who will always be there for us, never to be replaced. Personal thoughts of Yeshua, High Priest, Kohen Gadol. How does it comfort you knowing that Yeshua is interceding for you as your Kohen Gadol? I'm going to say the blessings. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. Today is 13 days, which are 1 week and 6 days of the Omer. The Merciful One, may he return to us the service of the temple to its place, speedily in our days. Bo, Yeshua, bo. Come, Yeshua, come. Shalom.